This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu.
Welcome to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth, seeking light and knowledge through the deeper dimensions of faith, your place to reflect. Are we truly happy? What is that fleeting moment of contentment that we all seek that seems to be ever more hard to grasp? What is it linked to and what really gives us long-term satisfaction? To discuss these ideas today is John Fontaine from the UK. John embraced Islam in 2008. After coming into contact with Muslims in West Africa. He is also the author of Jesus in the Injil, which is another word for the Gospel, which outlines the Islamic perspective of Jesus and his message. And John's latest book, The God Solution, is about the Islamic perspective of atheism. Welcome back, John Fontaine.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Big questions, John. Most of us are lucky or blessed. We have enough to eat, we have more than one pair of shoes, and if we have good health, we should be grateful. And yet there's such a sense of trouble inside of us now. And a lot of it, of course, is to do with we're all just busy rushing around and you don't really have time to think, am I happy or am I not? Are we truly happy?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very interesting thing because everyone, I think, is searching for happiness. Whatever we're doing, whether we're studying, if we're at work, or we have families, I mean, what is the purpose? Why are we doing these things? You know, why are we studying?
We're studying to get knowledge and get good grades and get a good job.
Yeah, and ultimately to be happy. You know, so people, you know, they will study to get a good job. You know, so they can have a good income, so they can actually be happy. Other people, you know, might be working, you know, in order to get money again to be happy. And it's like this race, you know, this world race where everyone is chasing their desires of the worldly life. But what exactly is happiness? Because happiness is not just about physical things. It's not just about money or status. You know, I mean, that's what makes animals happy, you know, but we have, as human beings, we have something more. We're more than animals, you know. And
yeah, we're more than animals, surely, because we can like the things that we have. Isn't this whole concept of, oh, there's more to life than things, just some hippie construct?
Definitely. I mean, but I know you've called me a hippie before.
Astaghfirullah. I do tease John. You have to see his peaceable demeanor to know that we can tease John like this. But you don't mind it being, yeah, I mean, you don't mind this kind of, you know, esoteric spiritual talk being called, you know, you're just a bunch of hippies looking for happiness. You're quite happy with that term.
Yeah. I mean, an example is, I mean, people think that the material world is actually going to get them happiness. And if we take an analogy of, imagine that you fell asleep, you know, wherever you are, you fell asleep, and then all of a sudden you woke up and you're on an aeroplane. And I know you do a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. Lauren, mm-hmm. and I'm sure, you know, you're quite a big jet setter. But if you imagine that you're in first class, you know, business class, you know, I've never been there, so...
I hear it's nice.
But if you imagine you're in business class, you have all the luxuries of business class, you know, the entertainment system, the best food and drinks you can imagine. The service is great. The views out the window, you know, you're traveling over the Alps, you can see the nice beaches. Would you say that you're happy? Now, most people would say, yes, I'm happy. But how can you be happy when you don't know how you actually got on the plane and where the plane is going? you know, why are you on the plane? What is your purpose of being on the plane? And what is the destination? And this is kind of the same analogy when we actually looking at this life, is that we're on a journey, and we delude ourselves with the material world, you know, thinking that we're happy with the latest toy or the latest PlayStation game or the latest job or whatever it may be. But in fact, it has a time, you know, it has a time scale. After some time, you'll be bored of that particular thing and you realise that it's not true happiness.
Do you know, I heard a very sad story just 2 days ago. And a sister told me that there was, and this was reported a couple of years back in the media, that there had been a young man from a very wealthy family, and they had his mother had given him everything, of course, that you possibly could from when he was small. If he wanted it, he'd get it. The train set, the special trainers, the special school trips, the friends' parties, everything he'd wanted. And he reached 16. And on his 16th birthday, his mother bought him an aeroplane, an actual jet. And the young man killed himself. He committed suicide. Wow. And he left a note and he said, "Dear Mum and Dad, the one thing that I wanted in my life that I was really aiming for was an aeroplane. And now you've got it for me. My purpose has gone."
SubhanAllah, this is a very touching story, and this is the reality for many people. You see it in the media. You know, a lot of the celebrities, they reach the final destination. Mm. You know, they sell the millions of albums, they do all the concerts, and then what? And I was kind of at this stage before I was a Muslim.
Talk to us about that. Tell us about that.
I'd got to a stage in my jazz career where it's kind of at the end of where it can go. It's as far as it can go. You know, I'd sang in the top jazz clubs. I spent a lot of time with a lot of the famous jazz musicians. And that was kind of it. And I was thinking, well, is that it? You know, and I left jazz. You know, I realized that my whole dream, which I'd been focusing on for the best part of 10 years, that I'd done it, and that's it, and there was nothing there. And you see this with a lot of the celebrities, even, you know, a lot of the famous, the rich and famous, who, you know, you would say have done well for themselves, but spiritually they're empty. You know, they're still searching. And this is the key, because Allah tells us in the Quran that Allah says that through the remembrance of Allah, our hearts will find rest. And this is the way to actually find contentment. You know, actually remembering Allah and coming back to understanding what is our purpose of life. And this leads us on to what is our purpose of life?
That is a very good place. With that big, big subject to come, it's a perfect place for us to take a mini break, and we'll be back with John Fontaine discussing the meaning of life, the search for happiness, after this.
A whisper of peace moving through the land. Allah will surely run to us if we hold out our hand. A word of hope, a call to every woman and man. A light unto the end of time, this is Al-Islam. A whisper of peace, moving through the land. Allah will surely run to us, but do we understand? A word of hope, a call to every woman and man. A light unto the end of time, is this Al-Islam? A whisper of peace, moving through the land. Allah will surely run to us, but do we understand? A word of hope, a call to every woman and man. A light unto the end of time, is this Al-Islam? A whisper of peace, moving through the land. Allah will surely run to us, but do we understand? understand. A word of a hope, word a call to every woman and man. A light until the end of time. Or is this just a waste of rhyme? What if we run out of time? Is this our Islam?
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth, discussing the topic of happiness and the search for meaning. Today is John Fontaine. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
We were talking about the need to set goals in life, and if they are physical, material goals or career-based goals, sometimes, should we be allowed to reach them, the pinnacle isn't as exciting as the journey. And we think, again, if fame, for example, was a good destination to reach, why is Hollywood so full of places where you need to take rehab, for example? Why are there so many celebrity suicides, so much celebrity drug addiction? These people seem to be very unhappy. And indeed, you know, I've had friends pass recently who I knew from my life before, who were very well known and who died in a hotel room alone, addicted to, you know, legal drugs, pharmaceuticals. And then we think of Heath Ledger. Oh. He played the Joker, I think, in Batman, and he killed himself at the height of his fame. Everyone was so shocked. What is that element of pointlessness that seems to enter the human spirit? Can you discuss that through an understanding of the search for meaning?
Yeah, I mean, I think every human being, we understand that we are more than animals. Everyone knows this. And without a creator, if you take a creator out of it, then if there's no creator, we are literally just animals. But people find it difficult to understand this perspective, because internally, our innate belief, we know that we are more than just animals. And we are all searching for the purpose of life. Now, people make their own purposes, you know, whether it is to be famous or rich. But then when they get there, they realize that it was an empty purpose. It was, you know, that there's nothing else left to do. But Allah tells us in the Quran what our purpose of life is. You know, and he tells us that he created mankind in order to worship him. Now, we don't just mean the five daily prayers or fasting or things like this. What Allah means is to actually remember him in all aspects of our life. You know, to actually dedicate and do everything to actually pleasing Allah. And we're actually told in Islam that our faith, and I don't think faith is actually a good description, I guess it's more that our closeness to Allah or our happiness increases by actually doing good deeds, doing good things.
I'm glad you brought that up, because, of course, we must all know people who have made great lives doing good. The major philanthropists, the head of Microsoft, Anita Roddick, who set up the body shop looking at how to take chemicals out and stop testing on animals, people who devote themselves to good deeds, they are fulfilled and they do great things for humanity. And I find it very interesting that there are chemicals released in the brain when you are doing a good deed for somebody else. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, because this is used in psychological programs to actually help people who are stressed and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell people, you know, to actually go and do good deeds. You know, go and do charity, you know, and it helps in the happiness.
I'd love to go to a doctor and instead of him saying, okay, you've got a migraine, take these pills that will ruin your stomach and make you vomit, and then take tablets for the vomiting. I'd love someone to say, you know what, go and do a good deed today, you'll feel better.
Yeah, and it is actually one of the things that is being taught at the moment. But the question is, what is good? You know, because from a human understanding, humans have different understandings of morality. You know, we go to different cultures, different religions, different nationalities, there's different ideas of what is good and bad. So the idea in Islam is we believe that there is an objective morality, you know, that there is a morality that is kind of set in stone, you know, that we don't believe that we necessarily need the Quran to tell us that murder is wrong, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Quran actually gives us a guidance on our everyday life, you know, on what is good and bad. So we, from the Islamic perspective, we believe that humans are actually born with this innate belief, understanding the basics of morality. You know, you can see children from a very young age, you know, the children that they know what's right and wrong. You know, there was one of my friend's children, he actually touched the television remote, and the child gave this glance at his father, and you could tell that the child knew he'd actually done something wrong. You know, he's not even at a stage where he can even speak yet. But from a very young age, human beings, we know, we have this innate sense of right and wrong. But ultimately, the details of the morality has to come from God. You know, where humans can actually agree on morality, it has to come from the creator of the universe.
You know, there was
a
study done, John, into childhood empathy. And in this study, a child was put in a room with an adult, and the adult was pretending to cry. And the child, around 3-4 years old, would come over and would automatically, you know, when babies pat you, toddlers pat you and say, "You okay? Are you crying?" And if there was water on the table, the child would offer, "Would you like a drink of water?" Whatever they had to hand to help. Now, the other study group was a child in a room with an adult, again crying. And when they offered help, the adult would say thank you and give them a material reward, in this case, a sweet. And what the study discovered was that after several times of this happening, the children that were getting the sweets, the material rewards for doing altruistic deeds, lost interest in doing them. They stopped. Because they lost interest in the reward. And the children who received no reward for it would go on and on and on comforting. That is very deep, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Mm. And this is, again, it's proof of the innate fitra, the innate belief. But where people go wrong, such as the people who don't understand, because we have the purpose of our life, which is to actually worship God and do good deeds. You know, to good deeds in the sight of God, if you like. But then what is the purpose of this whole life? You know, and Allah tells us that the purpose of this life is a test. You know, it's to test us to see who is the best. And with each test, you know, if we pass the test, then your status with the Creator is actually elevated, you know, for the hereafter. And people often, they complain when they're tested, you know. I mean, a few years ago, I had a brain tumor, but I was actually a Muslim, you know, and so this didn't really affect me at all.
Whoa, I just want to take it back there. That's a massive statement. You had a brain tumor, it didn't really affect you at all.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm a Muslim, I knew that this is out of my hands. You know, it's not a decision that I have made. And so I knew that this is something that is a decision from Allah. So I was content that Allah actually chose this way for me. And I knew that, because from the Islamic perspective, we know that all calamities, even if we view them to be bad, they're actually good for us. Because they're actually a test. And if you pass the test, as I said, you're actually, you know, your status is increased. And an example is like a baby with, you know, when you take a baby for an injection, the baby cannot understand why, you know, the parent is allowing a stranger to inject him with poison. Yeah.
Mm.
But because the baby can't understand the wisdom behind this calamity, you know, and this is kind of the human situation, because many bad things, well, what we perceive to be bad, many things happen to us. But what we should understand is that there is a wisdom behind these things, you know, that there, and when you understand that this life is a test, then it helps you actually cope with the calamities. And that's why in Islam, of course, suicide is not allowed, but that's why it doesn't really happen to people who are actually spiritually connected with Allah.
That's all we have time for today. May Allah count us amongst those who remember him and guide us to true happiness and to good deeds and to helping one another. My guest today was John Fontaine. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Heart and Soul.
Thank you very much.
The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.